This is the Canadian Taxpayers Federation podcast, where we are fighting for lower taxes, less waste, and more accountable government. I'm Chris Sims. I'm the Alberta director here in Lethbridge. I'm right down the street from Franco Terrazano's mom. Franco, right now,
though,
is stationed in Ottawa. And joining us this week is our good friend, Prairie Director for the CTF, Gage Hobrick. Gage, so your premier, Scott Moe, might be getting into a bit of a Donnybrook with Prime Minister Justin Trudeau over the carbon tax. But what's the new element here? What is going on with this one?
Yeah, so Saskatchewan kind of has basically said enough is enough when it comes to the carbon tax. I mean, Saskatchewan has been a carbon tax fighter since the beginning, but this is kind of the next step in upping up that ante. So, but you got to set the scene a little bit to kind of understand why Saskatchewan is doing what it's doing. So, you know, a little bit while ago, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau decided that he was going to exempt heating oil from his carbon tax to get people some relief. But the problem is, no one in Saskatchewan uses heating oil to heat their homes. We all use natural gas. So premiers across the country pointed out the hypocrisy of that notion. They were only giving relief to a small portion of the population. So Premier Scott Moe said, well, then we're not going to charge it on natural gas in Saskatchewan. We're going to give Saskatchewanians relief. And, you know, Saskatchewan's uniquely poised to do that because we have a crown corporation that delivers all the energy. And the response of the federal government hasn't been happy. But to kind of point it out a little bit how important this kind of thing is, the Saskatchewan government's estimating that it's saving people about $400 a year by not charging the carbon tax on home heating. That's a pretty good chunk of change to help keep down those bills at the grocery store. But then it was kind of in contention for a little bit on whether or not the government would just remit some money from general revenue, but then taxpayers would still be hit, or if they weren't going to give any money to the feds at all. So then it all came to a head last week when they said, we're not going to give you anything.
Okay, I got to take a step back real quick here, folks. So that was great information, but I'm still caught up on this Donnybrook thing. Is that what you said, Chris?
Yeah.
It's well, like, what is this? Is this a reference? Why am I not getting this?
A Donnybrook is like, I think it's Gaelic. Like, it's like an idea of like a pub fight. It's like, all right, I'm going to have them dukes.
Yeah, now you're speaking my language. Okay, so speaking about this big fight. about this big fight, okay? So Gager is really setting the stage here on why this is happening, right? He talked about the carve-out, the Trudeau government taking the carbon tax off of furnace oil for a couple years, and that predominantly helps Atlantic Canadians. So why did he do that? Well, it was a pure political ploy. That's why when he had his press conference, who was behind him? Not the Canadian taxpayers, no. He had his Liberal MPs in Atlantic Canada because they were plummeting in the polls. So, you know, I'm happy that there's Canadians out there who are getting some relief. I just wish all Canadians were getting that same relief, right? So he's helping predominantly Atlantic Canadians and then leaving 97% of Canadians out in the cold paying the carbon tax in the winter. And as Gage said, in Saskatchewan is about $400. That's the bill on the natural gas. The average in Canada is a little bit more than $300, the carbon tax on natural gas alone. So like, we're talking about Saskatchewan and Trudeau going toe to toe on this carbon tax issue. And like, the first thing that comes to my mind is like, well, Scott Moe's heart is in the right place and Trudeau is completely wrong on this. You know, this is supposed to be Canada. We're one country. All Canadians struggle with the cold weather during the winter. All Canadians need relief. Now, Gage, let me just ask you a question because I've been seeing some back and forth even more than what you explained. Now I'm seeing Scott Moe say something like, no rebate, no carbon tax. So can you kind of explain even more what's going on there?
So what started off first was Natural Resource Minister Jonathan Wilkinson, right after they said they weren't going to send the feds any money to cover the carbon tax. He's like, well, you know what? Fine. Then you don't get any rebates. And then about 25 seconds later, Scott Moe rightly pointed out that Saskatchewanians are still paying the carbon tax on propane, on gas and diesel to drive the cars. You know, we're still paying it every year. And Scott Moe went a little bit further, saying that if we're not getting any rebates, as Franco said, maybe we shouldn't be paying the carbon tax at all, which is a pretty cheeky move.
Okay, you know what? This is kind of reminding me of just like Trudeau's now favorite talking point, right? When every other talking point has already failed, well, just throw another one at Canadians and let's see if Canadians will buy this one. But now Trudeau is attacking people who oppose the carbon tax, saying like, oh, yeah? No carbon tax, no rebates. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you don't take money from us in the first place, you don't need to give some of our money back with rebates. Like, seems like a pretty obvious flaw in his talking point, but I guess that's what he's sticking with. Gage, you know, explain to us, because you're in Saskatchewan, like, not only are people feeling the carbon tax pain, you know, when you're driving, because Saskatchewan, a big rural province, you got to drive long distances. Saskatchewan, a very cold province. You obviously need energy to stay warm during the winter. But in Saskatchewan, I mean, you got a lot of farmers out there, and I know they're getting hit with the carbon tax as well. So you can you kind of explain what's going on federally with the carbon tax and Canadian farmers?
No, I think that's a really good place to go to. So there's this bill that's now back in the House of Commons called Bill C-234. And what it's trying to do is exempt farmers from having to pay the carbon tax on both natural gas and propane. And that's really important because farmers already don't have to pay the carbon tax on gas and diesel that they use on their farms. So this bill is just trying to extend that same logic to the rest of the stuff that farmers are using. But you might think, like, what are they using it for? But it adds up to be a pretty big bill. So farmers have to use that propane to dry their grain. And that's a big deal when you get a wet, rainy season. A wet, rainy season we didn't have in Saskatchewan, but I've heard other places have good crops, just not out over here. But the biggest one is going to be that propane. Because if you're a chicken farmer, all the way out throughout the entire year, you have to keep that barn full of chickens at about 35 degrees Celsius. Wow. And that's even when it's negative 35 outside. I've talked to chicken farmers where they're regularly having small barns getting three-figure bills in just carbon tax to pay for that. So what this bill's trying to do is get rid of that. Unfortunately, there's been a little bit of hiccups. You know, went to the Senate, almost got passed. Some six-figure senators figured out they knew farming better than the farmers, and then sent it back to the House where it's currently waiting to get more on debate and hopefully get passed.
So just to nutshell that, for folks who are listening to this who don't work on farms, farmers pay the carbon tax on things like heating their barns, so keeping all those chickens alive, okay, and drying your grain. So even though they're getting a discount on marked diesel, right, for their trucks and their tractors or whatnot, they're still getting nailed by Trudeau's carbon tax on farm. So this is what Gage is trying to point out here, is that they're this close to getting a big exemption for farmers, but it's been messed up by the Senate. What's your hope here, Gage? Do you think it's going to be fixed again by the House of Commons and repassed? Like, is that what you're hearing?
Well, I don't think any of us are ones to trust the government to do anything useful, but in this bill, we have a little bit of hope. The last two times a similar bill went through the House, it was supported unanimously by all the opposition parties, plus a couple of Liberal MPs. So, you know, we're hoping if it comes back to vote again, everybody still has the common sense they had last time and gets it through and gets farmers those savings.
Hey, Gager, you've been talking a lot to farmers out there. So why don't you kind of detail, like, what some of the costs are that farmers are facing and how, like, Bill C-234 could really make a difference for them?
Well, it's a really big, important thing. Obviously, in Saskatchewan, we've got farmers all over. I'm going to go back to a chicken barn example because I know one farmer quite well. The most important thing he's saying is when it hits that winter, you're paying those $1,000 bills and you have to go and sell your chicken at the same rate. So they're losing money when they're doing it that way. And then just about 100 kilometers south, you get into Montana, you get into North Dakota. Those chicken farmers aren't paying a carbon tax, and it puts them at such an unfair advantage to our Saskatchewan farmers who are just trying to make ends meet and get that product out there so we can buy it at the grocery store.
And these costs are huge, right? I don't think, I obviously know that these senators and MPs don't really understand just how much it's hurting farmers. I mean, the parliamentary budget officer, we cite them all the time, and it's because they're always holding the government accountable. The carbon tax on natural gas and propane used on these Canadian farms will cost farmers about $1 billion by 2030, $1 billion. Like, that's a huge amount of money. And then think about how the carbon tax really impacts you throughout the entire economy, right? When you tax the farmer that grow the food and you tax the driver that delivers the food, you tax all Canadians every time we go to the grocery store and buy the food, right? So this carbon tax from very early on in the stage of production flows throughout our entire economy. And it's one of the reasons why prices are going through the roof.
And as your number one fan, I just need to point out, Franco was saying that first. I just need to note, Franco was saying that first, from the farm to the truck to the grocery store. So Franco, do we want to talk about the poll?
Yeah.
We put out a poll recently that shows the majority of Canadians, surprise, don't want a hike in their carbon taxes. Do you want to get into that?
Yeah, well, so we actually got some good news, right? Because we've been talking about the carbon tax, boo. But now we got some good news. Yay. And that is, like, look, so we commissioned a poll from Leger, thanks to all of our Canadian taxpayer supporters, that show 7 in 10 Canadians don't support the Trudeau government's carbon tax hike on April 1. So the vast majority of Canadians in every province and in every demographic are against the upcoming carbon tax increase. And when I say the vast majority in every province and every demographic, I mean it. Like, it doesn't matter if you live in a city or a small town or out in the country, vast majority oppose. It doesn't matter if you're a man, woman, vast majority oppose. It doesn't matter your education, didn't go to high school, went to high school, went to university, vast majority oppose. It doesn't matter on the income level, still the vast majority of Canadians oppose the Trudeau government's carbon tax hike on April 1. So, you know, we hear all the time that Canadians are divided. Not on this issue, we're not. Canadians are united in not wanting the government to continue to make our lives more expensive.
This is like my favorite show. I just throw carbon tax and like data at you. Do it.
And okay. Another thing.
Let me tell you one more thing. Now, we were chatting on the phone earlier this week. Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't you say that it was actually more women than men who were opposed to the carbon tax increase? Okay, yeah. I find this fascinating. I'm going to generalize. Sorry, boys. I know there are guys out there that do the majority of the shopping. I know there are exceptions. But generally speaking, it's the ladies who are doing the big grocery shops every week. It's the moms who are trying to afford winter boots for their kids or figure out how to get their kid to soccer without running through three tanks of gasoline. Hello. So this is what racks up their bills. And so I bet you that they're the ones that are watching those little dollars and cents numbers and noticing that, hey, this carbon tax is making my life more expensive. So I found that really interesting that it was more women than men were opposed to this carbon tax increase.
Yeah, let me get into the demographics a little bit more. So women were more likely to oppose the carbon tax hike than men, but it didn't matter because both genders, vast majority in both genders, don't want the carbon tax to go up, right? So whenever I talk about this, just understand that through all the demographics, and the vast majority of Canadians are against the carbon tax increase. When you look at income, again, you see all levels of income, vast majority oppose the carbon tax hike. When you look at age, this one probably not surprising is that you see people like 65 plus who really don't want the carbon tax to go up. And the reason I say that's not surprising, look, everyone is struggling. It doesn't matter what age you are, but like you can understand the people who are retired, who might be living on fixed income, they're not seeing their incomes go up, but they're seeing the cost of living go up and up and up and up. So that's not super surprising. Another one that's not crazy surprising is that people who live in rural communities tend to oppose the carbon tax hike even more. Again, not super surprising. Like I remember when I lived in a couple different places in Ontario, Port Hope, Cobourg, Camborne. I remember at some points, my mom was working in the GTA. At some point, she was even working in Richmond Hill.
Wow.
Like that's like, folks, my mom is an absolute saint. Like she had to get to work. Like it wasn't just like public transit. Like you have to drive there, right? So like, especially for people living in these rural communities, I mean, driving isn't a luxury. It's how you put food on the table. You know what I mean? But again, like we can slice this, you know, a million different ways, but it doesn't matter how you slice it. The vast majority of Canadians, about 7 in 10 Canadians, oppose the upcoming carbon tax hike. And let me just drop one more thing in there. That means only about 30% of Canadians support the carbon tax hike. Now, folks, you all know that the Liberals and the NDP are slumping in the polls. But if you add the Liberal support, the NDP support, and the Green support, you're just under 50% depending on the day. So that means that even NDP and Liberal supporters don't support Trudeau's carbon tax hike on April 1.
Yep. And if he's lost that crowd on this topic, yeah, they should probably back off on this. All right, gentlemen, do we want to do our taxpayer pro tip?
Yeah, I'll go just because this is Gagers First time on the new show, so I will go. I've got two taxpayer pro tips, okay? So, number one, I'm sorry, Chris, for continuing to interrupt you today. I'm going to do better. That's a taxpayer pro tip to me.
That's is your
to
pro not tip.
Interrupt Chris Sims so much. Sorry, Chris, I love you, and I'll do better. Taxpayer pro tip number two. This is a good one out there. So, folks, I'm getting a lot of emails from you, especially around a lot of the fights on the carbon tax. And I hear you sometimes say, look, the government doesn't care. They want to continue to make our lives more expensive anyways. And I can tell that some people feel like at times hope is lost. And, you know, I feel that too sometimes. I mean, sometimes I feel like I'm just banging my head against the wall and all I'm getting is a black eye. But, folks, remember, all it really takes to push the needle on this kind of stuff is a couple of the backbenchers, specifically within the governing party, to break ranks. Okay, let me give you a prime example. We talked about it today. There was one Liberal backbencher, Ken McDonald from Newfoundland and Labrador, who spoke out against Trudeau's carbon tax. And because he spoke out, one guy, what happened shortly after? The Trudeau government gave Atlantic Canadians carbon tax relief. Okay, so it only takes a couple MPs to do the right thing, stand up for their convictions, and speak up for their constituents, okay? And that's why we're continuing to ramp up the pressure. So my taxpayer pro tip to the rest of the Liberal MPs is to stop being chickens, find your spine, stick up for your constituents, speak out and speak loud against the upcoming carbon tax increase because time is running out or running up. Running out.
Excellent.
Yeah,
excellent
that's the right
tip.
One.
So running out. So Gage, what's your taxpayer pro tip?
So my taxpayer pro tip is for the Prime Minister, and it kind of highlights what we've been talking about. Today we've got this carbon tax fight between Saskatchewan and the feds. We've got this poll that shows that people don't support the carbon tax hike. And I think it's a good time for the Prime Minister to realize that when it comes to the carbon tax, he doesn't have a Danielle Smith and Scott Moe problem. He also has a Carl Lebec and Wab Kanu problem.
Yep.
When it comes to Saskatchewan, the NDP are the official opposition, but they've supported motions unanimously to repeal the carbon tax. And they supported Scott Moe when he said he was going to take the carbon tax off of home heating. Then you jump over to Manitoba, where we have Wab Kanu, who's also called to get the carbon tax off of home heating. He's cut the gas tax there to make gas prices cheaper. I wonder what was making gas prices more expensive in the first place. And we jump back to Saskatchewan. Carl Lebec is calling for the same thing, to cut the gas tax. So it's a really important thing here that Trudeau needs to realize. He just needs to scrap the carbon tax, because it's not just conservative politicians who don't like the carbon tax. And we know it's 7 out of 10 of every Canadian who doesn't want to see that hike. It's everyone. And you're not going to win this one.
Yeah, very good pro tip. To your point, even here in Alberta, so Rachel Notley, who was formerly the NDP Premier of Alberta, who actually sprung a provincial carbon tax on Albertans after not campaigning on it during the election, so she is now stepping down as NDP provincial leader. All of the candidates that I've been able to see so far in the NDP provincial race have said, we need to scrap the carbon tax.
Wow.
I know. So pretty surprising. But even they are now saying we need to scrap the carbon tax. And this leads me to my taxpayer pro tip. And that is, this is like free communications advice. Anybody can take it, whatever party, I don't care. Be authentic and be consistent. Because now we see the Trudeau government has got themselves twisted up in this pretzel. Because at first, the carbon tax wasn't going to cost you anything, right? Right. And then they had to say, oh, you're going to get more back in the rebates than you pay out. Well, mathematically, that's not true. And we know it. And people aren't dumb. They realize they're paying more than they get back. And then they started saying, oh, well, this is for the environment. Then we showed, actually, this isn't helping the environment. This isn't stopping, you know, emissions. And so this is where they've twisted themselves into this pretzel. Okay. If they truly wanted to increase the price of fuel and home heating and food, they should have just said so. They should have said, yep, this is a feature, not a bug. Carbon tax is going to make everything more expensive because this is why. But they didn't. They kept on shifting the goalposts all over the place. They gave one area an exemption, and here we are. We have the Alberta NDP calling for the carbon tax to be scrapped. That's where they misstepped, and that's why you need to be authentic in your communications and stay consistent. Folks, if you're interested in more of this, we have an entire website full of this stuff. Head on over to our website, taxpayer.com. You can sign any petition there you want, including Gage. Yours is still up there, the end carbon tax for farms?
Oh, it definitely is. Get the carbon tax taken off of farm fuels. I'd highly recommend signing that petition. It's a great one.
You can sign Gage's petition. You can sign Franco's petition. Franco is about to jump through the screen there on getting rid of the carbon tax completely. You can even order one of these awesome hoodies.
Or bunny hugs.
So people in Saskatchewan call it bunny hugs. That's for another episode. So folks, head on over to our website, taxpayer.com. That's where you can stand up and be heard.